But the mere purpose of design, Lord, I just pray that you'll use me, Lord, tonight. And I pray that you'll open every heart, Father. Every single heart will be open with the right attitude, Lord. And I pray that their concentration will be there, Lord, so they can receive the word. Lord, I know that you're gonna do a great work tonight. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary, would you go back and help Brother Ken pray for John there? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment to pray for Brother John. His heart's heavy. Praise God. Brother Jack, can I help you help too? Your heart has been heavy, and I think you could really identify with our brother right here. Let's just take a moment to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know our brother John's heart is heavy. He's got some challenges, Father, that are more than he can bear. And God, we just intercess for him now, Lord. We love our brother, and Lord, we know you love him more than we can ever love him. And God, I just pray for a miracle in John's life. Lord, I pray that you just minister to the very deepest part of his heart and soul. Oh, God, anoint him with your love. Anoint him, Lord, with your compassion. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You can just stay back there as long as it takes and minister to him. Acts 1:8, praise God. It says here, but ye shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and it goes on to say, unto the uttermost part of the world. Now, I believe that probably that verse has been read so many times throughout the United States, and so many directions have been taken with this verse. Usually, when we think of power, we think of something heavy. We think of faith. Amen? We think of some mighty earthquake, or we think of moving a mountain, or healing the blind eyes, or we think of many things when we think of power. How many have heard some real good sermons on faith and power? Amen? Boy, just rock the church. I've seen guys get up on TV and just walk around shaking with power or something. Maybe adrenaline. Something. And I'm not knocking it. I praise God for that. But I'm going to talk about power tonight, but I'm not going to talk about the kind of power that necessarily will make an arm grow out or an eye see, or maybe make a mountain fall down or make the Red Sea part. But I'm going to talk about power that's very important in a Christian life. Oh, how we need power in our lives. Amen. But I tell you what, we're not just wrestling with some skinny devil. Now, I'm not going to give him too much glory. But he's caused a lot of problems in the last few thousand years. Right, Katie? And we have got to have power in this world if we as Christians are going to stand. I tell you what, one thing that always turned me off all my life was hypocrisy. How many has ever been turned off by hypocrisy? Now, I want you to know, sometimes what they call hypocrisy is not. If I'm struggling all week long, Charlotte, and man, I'm just struggling, and I had a bad time, maybe I had a temper, maybe I tipped the bottle a little bit, and I've been trying and I've been struggling, but I go ahead and come to church and I put a smile on my face. I guess not. That's not hypocrisy. That's not hypocrisy. Don't you ever come to me and say, preacher, I seen brother so-and-so, and I'll come up to the house, and I knocked on the door. Wake you up. Now, wake you up. And I heard them cussing. They're hypocrites. I've never heard them cuss in church. boy in church, they put a big smile on their face and they pump everybody's hands and they're so in church. But I heard cussing at home, they're hypocrites. Boy, don't you ever come tell me that, Grandma. Because I'll tell you a few things, because that's not a hypocrite. What are you expecting to come to church? Come to church? Can you imagine Johnny Jenkins coming in this church? Now, I'll pick on him a little bit. He coming in and says, you know what? I've cussed all the week long, so I'm going to do it right here in church. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to let it all hang out. That's not hypocrisy. People get confused. That's Christians having trouble. We need to help people like that. Amen. Help ourselves. But you see, hypocrisy is when I say, well, I am so great. You know? I just don't have any sin in my life. I'm so super. And then I go out and do the things I shouldn't be doing, but I lie about it and say I'm great. As long as I'm honest about my problems, I'm not a hypocrite. Amen? But you know, I've got turned off on about two things in my life, and when I was growing up, and that's real hypocrisy or just simple Christianity without any power. I braced my heart. It really does. Brace my heart. Susie, when I have someone come to me and just cries, oh, I want to do it, should I? I really do, but I can't. You know what? I want to do what's right, Ray, but I can't. That breaks my heart, because they go out and they want to do what's right, but they fall straight on their face in the mud, and I feel so broken over it, and I want to see some power. I want us to be able to say, hey, I want to quit this habit, or I really want to love somebody that's unlovable. I really want to be what God wants me to be, and then see God able to perform it. Amen? I want to see the power. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. Now, I hope you brought your diet pills and everything, because I got 1 hour per point. Not really. Okay? But I want you really to zero in on this. I want you to look 3 points to a powerful Christian life. And this is the real power involved in the Christian life. Galatians 5:6. Let's look to that to start out with. Let's look at one great power in a Christian life. Galatians 5:6. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pay attention to where I'm going here. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. I hear a lot about faith. Oh, praise God for faith. Had a brother come to me a while back and say, hey, I went down to this preacher and I told him I had an empty belly and needed a place to stay.
Man, I was really down and out.
Turn off the mic, praise God. God's trying to shut me down, or somebody is. Hope it's not God. But he said, hey, I've got problems with this preacher. This preacher said, well, praise God, brother. God can deliver you from this problem. Really? Boy, that's great. God can set you free. Amen. God can fill your belly. Praise God. God can give you a place to stay. Amen. He says, I'll pray for you. Wow. Boy, that's really neat. Faith, that faith sandwich is pretty good. You know? But you know, faith is not worth anything if it doesn't have love as a foundation in the heart to work from. Love is a great power. Love is number one point. Listen, Christians, love is such a dynamic driving force that Satan cannot even stand against love. When you love yourself, really love yourself, I don't mean be conceited. Most people who are conceited don't love themselves. Don't let them fool you. You knew that, Barbara, didn't you? Conceited people don't love themselves. People go around and say, man, I'm cool. They don't love themselves, do they? They're down on themselves and they're trying so hard to feel good about themselves, they project an image, Naomi, that's not the kind of image that we want to project. If someone really loves themselves, it's an individual that's going to be, they're going to be strong in that. Satan will not be able to come in and destroy you if you have a good foundation of love for yourself. And if you love other people, then you are not going to continuously be caught in traps that Satan throws before you. Listen, the agape love, the love that God loves, is a powerful thing, Mary. And what the power in that love is this, that the love comes from the heart of the person loving, and it has absolutely nothing to do with who you're going to love. If I come to Sandra here, Sandra, I don't care if you pick my pocket. Don't have much in it. But I don't care what you do. If I've got real love, I'm going to love you in spite of anything. Didn't depend on you. That means that there's nothing you can do that's going to come in and hurt me. Nothing you can do that can make me stumble. Because my attention is all outward. And I'm loving you for who you are, not what you do. Now, we've talked about love a lot in this church, and we need another dose of it tonight. I can't believe so many, we can listen so much about love and still have the trouble that we do in love. We are so concerned about how a person is treating us. Oh my, this person hurt me. Oh my, this person has done me wrong. They're not carrying their responsibilities. Hey, that's not love. That's selfishness. You say, yeah, but I've got to make it somehow. No, God can take care of you if you take care of others. God won't take care of you if you decide to be your own caretaker. But love reaches out and sees why a person's doing what they're doing. I believe most everyone has a good heart. But people have been abused in life and hurt in life to the point that they're abusing others. And I believe that good overcomes evil. Don't you, Christina? Good overcomes evil. Love overcomes every obstacle there is. And the first point to power in your life is you got to get your eyes off self and on others. And you got to love them because they are simply lovable. Not on what they're doing, just because they belong to the King. Amen? Anything God creates can't be dirt. You've heard that, right? God doesn't create dirt. Well, I guess he did. And we are dirt, aren't we? But we sure can't tell by looking. God doesn't make trash. That's what I was trying to think of. God didn't create trash. God, everything God's created is good. And that we should love each other just because God created all mankind. Amen, right? We've got to get... There's a power that will loose every bond. There's no way a person can hurt you if you're a loving person. The only people that can get hurt is the people that's focusing on self. If you're the most important thing in your life or that which you possess, then you're looking to be hurt. Because everything's going to bother you. And the devil's going to find a way to get in there and hurt you. But if your interest is on others, then you're going to live and be happy and filled with God's Spirit and be successful. So the first point I'd like to bring to you tonight as more of a refresher to what we've talked about before is we've got to look at people and love them in spite of anything that they do. And you've got to remind yourself of this, Marcia, every time anything happens. Love. And love will change people. The second point tonight, you can find in Matthew 10, 16. Matthew 10, 16. He says here, behold. Hey, listen now. Behold. Come on. Pay attention, okay? That's what it says. Behold. Boy, that's really emphatic, isn't it? I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. How many have ever felt like that? That's the way it is with Christians in this world? All kinds of wolves. You know, all kinds of things that can hurt. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent or serpents and harmless as doves. Sometimes I think that thing switched around. sometimes we're as mean as a wolf. Or as, you know, Christians can, oh, sinners can too. Christians has got theirs. The Bible says to be harmless. We shouldn't bring harm to people's lives. I don't care if they are a little wolfy. Amen? You know, who wants to hurt a little wolf anyway? But you better be wise. And what does it say in the Bible? In Luke, and in chapter 16 and 8, it says that the children of this world, that's Luke 16 and 8, the children in this world are wiser than the children of light. Can you imagine that? The children, Jerry, that's ridiculous, isn't it? The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Many times. Shouldn't be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. But you know, a crook knows how to get what he wants better than we do. Amen? How many has ever been around a crook before? Anybody? Aren't they pretty smart? Man, yeah. The children of this world know what they get, how they get. You know, one thing that really breaks my heart, and they, I had this happen a few years back. There's someone very dear to me, which all of you are dear to me. But one of the children of God was trying to win over a child of Satan. Now, if you're not with God, you're against him, the Bible says, right? And this dear, sweet little lamb was out trying to get the wolfie to come to church. And guess what happened? The wolfie got the lamb in bed. And that broke my heart. Here this young lady was out trying to win a guy to the Lord. He was smarter in his ways than she was in her ways, and he took advantage of the situation, put her in bed, and she suffered from guilt for a long time from that. It broke my heart, because I could see that the children of light aren't as smart as the children of darkness. Now, we should be wise in this world. One of the great powers that we should have in this world is to be wise in what we do and what we say and how we do it. Amen? We sometimes don't even know how to handle someone that we don't care for, or someone that's abusive, or someone that's negative, or someone that's filled with darkness. We don't even know how to handle them to bring about the result that we want. They know how to handle us. Slap us around a little bit. You know, that's their technique. They know how to get what they want. Have you ever been around somebody, Ray, that was practicing the ways of darkness and they get their way? Yeah. You show me a marriage where there's a believer and unbeliever, I'm going to show you an unbeliever that whips the believer almost every time. Nag them to death. They know how to get it. Come on now, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I mean, they know how to use the tools of Satan very well. Come on, children of light. Let's get wise in the things of God. You youth, sometimes, I tell you what, we've got a ministry out there for you. We really do. Tremendous ministry for the youth. Right now, I'd be afraid to send our youth out to any kind of ministry. They might all be fat. You know? I remember over in Wichita, I was at some kind of convention. Had a bunch of nice, good Christians walking. Some of you were there. We're walking. And there was a little joint on the side, little girls with mini skirts, and all the Christians went. I was walking in the back, behind them all, and it was so funny, I almost laughed, it wasn't sad, but all their heads went like this. The darkness looks so good in here. I wonder what kind of nasty little things they're doing in here. Putting them, you know, that's what it looked like. Man, I tell you what, that's silly. I tell you what, the children of the light should get familiar with the light. Amen? The children of light should dwell in the light, get familiar with the light, get intimate with the light, and be wise. Be smart in how you work with people and how you deal with the devil. Doesn't the Bible say, and that you got to beware of the devices of Satan? Does it say that? Give me this. Okay? How about you, Vince? It says that. That Satan is a very wise deceiver. The Bible says in the last days he deceives the whole world. Come on, children. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's fellowship. Let's relate to each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's teach each other. And let's be wise. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's think about things and not go out here blind and say, well, I'm of God. The good guys always win. Do we act that way sometimes? Well, listen, good guys don't always win in this world. Sometimes good guys lose. They might win in their life, their hereafter, but I believe God wants us to win in this life by being wise. Use wisdom. You know, some of you that's got marital problems, use a little wisdom. Use a little wisdom. I cannot believe how dumb. Now, I don't know if preachers should use that language or not. Barbara, I don't know. You might come from a high-flute church, and you just might walk out here and say, Mike Aikens must not even have a sixth-grade education. He says all kinds of things. But I would tell you something. Christians are dumb. Sometimes. A lot of times. You know? And we get in a marital situation, and we don't even have enough smarts to minister to someone. All we got to do is understand their needs. Don't you? If I understand your needs, then I can minister to you, and you'll be a piece of cake in developing a relationship. So you know what we do as Christians? We pick up the arms of Satan and do battle with Satan's kids. Hey, listen, zero in on people's needs. See where they hurt, and you will be a dynamic power in that life. You can change their life with God's help by using wisdom. Number three, praise God. 2 Timothy 3:5. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 3:5. Praise your Father. Right after Hezekiah, okay? Hey, I still get some laughs on that. Man, that's getting old. That's good. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at this. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness. There's a lot of people in this world who have a form of godliness. Now, our dear sister Doris here, I always embarrass her. She loves me to embarrass her. I tell you what, first time I ever seen her, I fell in love with her. I'm sorry about that, babe. I forgot to tell you. Okay? But she just looked like a Christian. You know? She wore her clothes like you think a Christian should wear them, like we've been taught they should. She just looked like a Christian. She had a form of godliness. Now, I think she also has what goes inside, too. But so many times, you know, people who wear skirts down to their ankles and things out here, you know, and they just look like a little Christian, little buns on top, you know, those little hats on top sometimes. And some of them are. But, you know, I used to always look at one of those girls and think, so perfect, you know. I'm going to marry one of those someday. I always said to myself, until I found out what they were like, so, you know, I decided not to, you know. But some of them are great, some of them aren't, like any other church. But the point of it is, people have a form of godliness. You know, a lot of these rock singers going around have a form of godliness. A lot of preachers have a form of godliness. You know, do you believe preachers have a certain look about themselves? How many think all preachers have a kind of standard look? Pot bellies, ball heads, you know, and they have that such a beautiful look. You know, we went to all the way to, where was it? We was at when we met Pastor up there. Where was that at? Roosevelt, Kentucky? Somebody met Brother Thomas? Evansville. Who was there? Weren't you the one that said, that looks like a preacher coming? Yeah, he came to that door and they said, that must be him. That looks like a preacher coming. And preachers have a look about themselves. They look like they got ties on. They look like, now I don't know about me. I got left out. I don't look like a preacher, you know. But the point of it is, there's people that's got a form of godliness, but what's the problem? They deny the power of godliness. There is power in being godly. They don't have godliness. They only have a form of godliness. Let me tell you something. Most of your problems and most of my problems come from our own sin. Yeah, but grace is so great. Favor with God. I love grace, don't you? I'd rather take grace any day than judgment. How about you? How many votes for grace? How many votes for judgment? Oh, this new judgment out. Judge somebody else. But you let me tell you something. Here's how I look at grace. Grace is great. But grace does not let a person off the hook and say, hey, I'll go out and just be ugly. If my little child comes up to me, he's got cancer on his face, great big cancer, just all around the face there, comes up to me and says, Daddy, I'm miserable. That's what we do when we come to God, don't we? Isn't that what we do, Strada? Come to God and say, oh, man, this is terrible. I'm miserable. Can you imagine a little kid come out with cancer on the face and says, oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. I've been messing around with the chemicals in your garage, and I got some cancer here. Would you forgive me? Yes, sweetheart. I forgive you. And I want you to know that you got grace from me. I forgive you, and I have favor for you, and you don't even have to earn it. That's true, isn't it? So go run along now. Let that cancer do its work. Hey, listen, I don't want you only want to be forgiven for sin. I want to be cleansed from it because sin hurts. Sin hurts. Oh, it doesn't hurt. I have been wounded so much, and I wounded myself in my sinful life. I would just as soon take the cancer off and get rid of it along with being forgiven. Sin is a terrible cancer. It's a hurtful thing. Godliness has a power in it. It releases you from your own torment. It also gives you power in other people's lives. Oh, yeah. It's nice to witness to other people. Oh, yes, God has the answer. Now, I haven't got around to me yet, but it'll work for you. People don't only want forgiveness. People want cleansing of the hurtful things in their life. And there's a power in godliness. Listen, we need to allow God to cleanse us from hurtful acts of sin. Amen? Listen, there is no escape. Oh, I think I'll just sneak over here and I could get by a little bit. I'm a pretty good person. I've done pretty good things. None of you look for it. I'm going to go over here and sin a little bit, and I'll ask God to forgive me. It'll be okay. I know I'm going to lose a few diamonds in my crown when I get to heaven. But as long as I slip underneath the doors, all that matters anyway. That's what people talk like, you know. Listen, every seed you plant is going to bring something up. Amen? It's going to either be a thorn, it's going to hurt, or it's going to be a beautiful rose that you can smell of. It's going to bring forth some fruit. Oh, no, not a rose. It brings forth the thorns, doesn't it? Okay, let's get something else. How about some grapes or something, you know? But you see, you can't get by with the acts of darkness without being hurt. We got to have the power of godliness. Who can tell me why, what's the main reason? Now, this is a $24,000 question, okay? Let me charge it though, okay? But what is the number one thing that keeps us from having the power of godliness? What is that number one obstacle? What is that thing that keeps us being such a puffed up, empty Christians? Who can tell me? Jerry. Self. Because it says that, doesn't it? Let's go up to verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, women, I don't know about you, but it says men are going to be. I think women have that problem, too. I think it's included in there. Amen? But the point of it is, we love ourselves so much that we're concerned about what we do, and we are not able to be godly. Because selfish people cannot be godly people. Amen? People are so concerned about how they feel, what they have, how things affect them, cannot have the power of godliness working in them. Again, we've got to get our eyes off self. 3 points tonight. 3 tremendous points of power in your life. You can wake up every day and be on top of this world if you put these 3 things to work. Number one, agape love, the love that does not depend upon the object of love, but depends on the heart that's loving. Amen? God's love shed abroad in the heart. Love, wisdom, being smart in this world, not dummies. And the third one is being godly. Put those 3 together, guess what? We can have a tremendous victory. We can be filled with the joy of the Lord, and whatsoever we do will prosper. If we in this church have a school, the school is going to prosper and bring forth children that will be living for God. If we have a rock group go out and minister, it's going to bring forth some real fruit because we've got those three aspects of power working in our life. If we go out on the streets and witness, we're going to have some fruit. If we're going to have fruit in our marriages, we're going to have fruit in all that we do. Because God will bring forth fruit in lives that are blessed with that type of power. Amen? Praise God. Let's open it up for questions now and answers. Like Gerald said, I'll ask the questions and you answer them, okay? I like that, Gerald. Praise God. Okay, who's got any questions tonight? I want you to understand anything that you might have a question on. Praise the Lord. Or a comment if you want to add something to it. Yes, Jerry. Okay, that's a good point. We sin, we get forgiveness, we go back to the same thing again. What's the problem? How many's ever had that problem? I have. Okay? What we need to realize there is that sin is only a symptom of a problem. Sin is not the problem. A heart is the problem. If you're not turned on to God 100%, the result is you have sin coming in your garden, in your flower garden. If you don't have that guard taken up with good things, bad things come in. You know, I heard a farmer once say that if you plant things correctly and you take care of your land, you won't have thorns, you won't have weeds. See, so sin is only a symptom of a heart problem. So if I sin and I say, God forgive me, I don't want to do it anymore, and I pursue a godly life, and then I do it again, I have the problem. So what I do, I seek out the scriptures, and I get on my knees and pray, I get guidance from someone who's more experienced in the Lord, and find out, hey, what's wrong down here? Why do I still have a crop of sin coming into my life? Something must be planted wrong in my heart. What is it? So what happens is, sin can be kind of an alarm going off saying, you still got a problem. You better go seek and search and find out what it is. Because there's something inside wrong. Somebody else? Yes, brother. Okay, how do you discover people's needs? How do you know a person's need? Well, first of all, you got to get your eyes off self and just look at that person, zero in on them. But use this like this. Are you watching? Hey, guy, I don't like you sitting there. Now, what did I just do? You okay? I just exposed a need. Why does the Bible say turn the other cheek? So God can prove to all the world that Christians are supermen and women? No. God is not trying to prove that Christians are tough, man. I can take two. The reason why you got to turn the other cheek, because the first one is just to let you know the person has a need. If you don't learn to turn the other cheek, you never see that, right? Someone steals your jacket. Well, you gotta, you know, he said, let them have your vest. If they walk 1 mile, let them take you 2 miles. You right? Why? Because they're expressing their needs to you through their negativity. Their problems. If your wife screams at you, then you can tell them the husband. If your wife screams at you, well, I'll put it this way. If your husband screams at you, instead of saying, boy, I'm mad, boy, you're mistreating me, say, oh, there's a need. There's a need being expressed. Why? People don't go around screaming for the fun of it, do they? Terrell, you just go around and say, well, I just like picking on people and screaming and you're in a fight. I love fighting. How many of you love to fight? Who? Oh, no. Now I know what's wrong. Okay. But you know, people do things negative because people have a what? Need. So that's how you know their need. You say, God, I've got 10 toes today. How many do you want to have someone step on? Then you're going to have it. Amen? Somebody else? Yes.
But
by correcting what a person's doing. If you, she, what she just said, isn't sometimes ministering to a person's need correcting their behavior so they won't have the need anymore? Yes, if you're an authority in that situation. If you're a, God has teachers, God has parents, God has authorities that minister that type of correction. Never try to correct somebody you don't have authority over. That's kind of the rule of thumb. So when should I tell my brother what he's doing wrong when I shouldn't? When should I get him mixed up in his business and really let him have it? If you got authority given from God in the Bible to you, you're in a position of authority, then it's your position. If you don't have authority in that life, don't get mixed up in it. Give him love. Pretty good rule of thumb. Amen? Somebody else. Praise the Lord. Yes, sister. About confusion? Confusion comes from the devil because we don't understand the Word of God. Get in the Word. Then you need to get a counselor. Here I am. Amen. That's right. That's true, though. You need someone to help you. Yes. Okay, her question is, if the husband is ahead and he has authority over the wife, then does, can he go around correcting her? Okay, in a situation like that, boy, I'll get myself in trouble here. A head does have the right to feed information to the wife. Amen? And that information should give the woman the information to correct her path. Now, sometimes a woman uses, God uses a woman to give information to the father. I mean, to his father. To the husband. Sometimes husbands act like fathers. Okay. You know, that's what you get in trouble when you think about two things at once. She said that, and I was thinking about something else too. Praise God. But, you know, yeah, that would be a position a person could give some corrective measures. But remember, you do not take it through dominance. You do it through leadership and teaching. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Seventy times seven, 490 times, okay? Yeah, on the 491st time, you let him have it. We wanted a good joke to end this thing up here, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to have Naomi sing a song to end it. It's only 10 after 9. Man, it's early.